Blog Talk Radio.
AKA the late night dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer radio show. Stokers and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California. WBEST, that's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show, but we also cover NBA, NCAA men's and women's sports, NHL, MLB, USFL spring football, XFL spring football. Time on deck is 44 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm sorry, time on deck is 8.06 a.m. and it is 44 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. That means if it's 44 degrees, it's cold for us out here. But we're not complaining because it's better weather than most places in the country. Most places in the world, for that matter. All right. Let's get into it. Topic for today, 49ers strike gold as they dig into the Cowboys. 49ers strike gold as they dig into the Cowboys. The host will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered, but not limited to, will be NFL divisional round action to include Dallas Cowboys fall to the San Francisco 49ers. Scores and action from NBA, NCAA men's and women's basketball, NHL, and breaking news and signings from Major League Baseball. So the bottom line is, go all across the monitor, down goes Dallas. Down goes Dallas in round two. Any of you boxing aficionados back in the day, remember when the famous call from Howard Cosell when George Foreman dropped Joe Frazier, and then Howard Cosell says, down goes Frazier, down goes Frazier. And it was the same thing, you know, with Dallas yesterday. Down goes Dallas. Down goes Dallas. I mean, it was, you know, it was a hell of a game yesterday. I mean, they fought, they battled. Those defenses showed up. Both offenses showed up. But bottom line is, Dak is getting a lot of pressure this morning because he couldn't pull it off. I think it's kind of unfair, kind of unwarranted, because those defenses came, both defenses came to play. If you notice, the 49ers, they only put up 19 points. They got a high-powered offense, Deebo Samuels, Christian McCaffrey, but they only put up what? They only put up, 19 points on the Cowboys. I mean, so people, I kind of warn against going out there and basically saying, you know, trying to kill a guy. Don't kill the guy. I mean, Dak still got some years left in him. He just, you know, it really wasn't the offense that lost the game. It really wasn't Dak. He had a tip interception. He threw one pick. I mean, okay, he threw a pick. He threw one pick out the whole game, tip interception, but he put the ball in two bad situations. But, I mean, hey, when you throw the ball a lot, every time you throw it, it's 50-50% chance. It's 50-50 ball when you throw it. It's a possibility you might get picked off because the defense is out there too. Defensive backs, hey, they're just another receiver on the defensive side of the ball. So bottom line is, you know, these guys, you know, Dallas, you know, the San Francisco 49ers defense, they held up. You know, they held up. You know, and who is that? Fred Warren, I believe his name is, number 54. I believe Fred Warren, Frank Warren. I believe it's Fred Warren. But anyway, Fred or Frank, Mr. Warren, I'm sorry, man, if I'm messing up your name. But I'm a big fan of Warren, number 54. That guy played his tail off. This guy's playing linebacker, and he's dropping back in coverage against CeeDee Lamb, going running stride for stride with CeeDee Lamb, man. I mean, this guy's a heck of an athlete. Pay that man his money. 54 Warren for the 49ers, pay him his money. Pay him. Pay the man. Yeah. Yeah, it's all kind of stuff going across the money. This was a hell of a wild card weekend. We had the doggone Chiefs. They overcame the their contest against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville Jaguars was in that game. That was a winnable game for the Jacksonville Jaguars to those last two picks Trevor Lawrence threw. Now, we could be sitting back here saying the same thing about Trevor Lawrence. Oh, yeah, you know, well, he shouldn't be the quarterback of the future because he threw two picks late, all this stuff. But, you know, you guys got to understand, you know, when you throw the ball again, it's a 50-50 chance that the ball can get intercepted. Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars was in that football game against the Kansas City Chiefs. They was in that game. They had hobbled Patrick Mahomes. They hobbled him, but even though, you know, the backup quarterback, Heaney, came in and still took them downfield. But the Jacksonville Jaguars had their moments. They had their moments. I mean, they had their moments. Don't get me wrong. It just was, you know, those two picks kind of hurt them. They had, you know, to come back and try to tie the game up or get within close striking distance. I forgot what the score was, but Jacksonville played a hell of a game too, guys. Just like Dallas. Dallas played a hell of a game. Dallas played a hell of a game. Then we go over to the Buffalo Bills and the who we have too. You had the Buffalo Bills yesterday, and you had the doggone Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow and the Bengals just came out and showed the Buffalo Bills who they were on their home field. They came to Buffalo and showed them what time it was. Joe Burrow looked at Josh Allen and said, I know Last year you got into that big shootout with Patrick Mahomes, but it's not to be this year. You're not going to go out for that shootout. We're going back and we're going to see Patrick Mahomes. We need to see Patrick. We need to see the Chiefs. You guys are not going to be able to go this time. It ends here. You're at home. At least you're at home. But the train stops here in Buffalo for you guys. At least you're not on the road. You're at home hosting a playoff game. But it's going to stop here today. We need to go back and see Patrick. And then Josh Allen and Diggs and, you know, whoever else they got over there was saying, no, man. We need to go see Patrick. We want to go back and get into that shootout. We got some revenge. We got some payback for those guys from last year when they put us out. But Joe Burrow said it's not to be. When the great one says it's not to be, it's not to be. 9 times out of 10, when the great one says no, it's no. It's not every time, but 9 times out of 10, when the greats say no, when the Mahomes, when the Rodgers, when the Brady's, when the Burrows, when they say no, when Jalen Hurts, you know, when they say no, it's no. 9 times out of 10. And yesterday, it was 9 times out of 10. It was a 9 times out of 10 day yesterday for Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. And they told Josh Allen, no, you guys are, I know you want to go back. I know you want revenge from last year against the Chiefs. But it's not going to happen this time. Not this year. What a lot of people don't understand, folks, is this. What a lot of people don't understand is, you lose these games, right? Then you think, okay, I'll get them next time. I'm gonna come back, you know, next time. When you're dealing with team sports, there is no tomorrow. There is no next time, because it's so hard to get to the playoffs in the first place. It's hard to win a game in the NFL. And as I've been studying the game more and more, and just listening to the media experts, the thing about it is, what the media experts are saying is that it's hard to get back. It's hard to get back to the playoffs. Just like it's hard to get back to win the game. Some of the media experts this morning were saying that Dak was kind of nonchalant, kind of cavalier in his comments at the podium. I think his demeanor is a cool, calm guy. He's not a panicker. He's an encourager. And he's always thinking on the positive side. And they say in his attitude was sort of like, I'll be better next year. I won't make the mistakes that I made this year. I'm going to be better next year. These numbers won't be the numbers next year. And a lot of the fans, you know, definitely the Cowboy fans are looking at it like in Cowboy Nation. So you basically just don't want to brush over what just happened. You basically want to just act like this loss didn't just happen, like you didn't just throw two picks or a pick and a half and only put up 12 points. You want to act like you didn't just paint a masterpiece on Monday night. You painted a Picasso on Monday night, and today you got a stick drawn like you in kindergarten. That's what you painted today. That's what you drew up today. You painted a Picasso on Monday night against the great one, Tom Brady. Probably did everything short of probably retiring the man. Then you come out here on Sunday, short week. Yeah, we give you that short week. But you come out here and you draw a stick painting and put it up on the wall with paste glue. These people are upset. They want to see tears, Dak. They want to see tears. They want to see anger. They want to see emotion. They want to see passion. But you got up there and you kind of was just like, you know, hey, you know, just another day at the office, guys. These things happen. You know, you almost act like Aaron Rodgers with another game to go next week. Relax, relax. You almost talking like, you know, you sipped on some ayahuasca tea last night before you got on the podium to keep your nerves calm and to keep you positive. Well, you know, these fans, they want to see emotion. They want to see anger. They want to see disgust. How the hell Jerry Jones, owner of the team, your boss, got more passion at the podium and at the mic than you got. Jerry Jones say it's sickening. That man say it's sickening because he built the team that was poised to go win the Super Bowl. Yeah, he did. The Dallas Cowboys people are a Super Bowl team. The Dallas Cowboys are Super Bowl team people. But the bottom line is it's hard to win an NFL game, and it's hard to make it all the way through the playoffs to the Super Bowl. It's hard to win a regular season game. It's hard to win a postseason wild card game, and it's damn sure hard to win a divisional round game in round two. Purdy said no. Brock Purdy, he told Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, no. No. We want to go. I'm going. Everybody said I was Mr. Irrelevant. I was the last pick in the draft, in my draft year. Mr. Irrelevant. I got something to prove. You've had your chances. I need mine. You had your chance. You had your shot, Dak. You had your shot. I need my shot. So the bottom line is this, people. Dak got told no by Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy said, I need this. I want to prove to my parents that I'm not irrelevant. I want to prove to these fans that I can take this team to the NFC Championship game. I'm going to go face Jalen Hurts. You're not. You're not going to face Jalen Hurts. I know y'all got this big thing, Cowboys, Eagles, in division playoff rivalry for the NFC Championship. No. Brock Purdy said, no, it's not going like that. And Brock Purdy, don't get me wrong, he's not one of the great ones. So I don't even put him in the conversation of saying that when he says no, 9 times out of 10 is no. When an up-and-coming diamond in the rough says no, it's pretty much like 2 times out of 10. 2 times out of 10 is no. And he told no to Geno Smith, who has all kind of experience, and the Seahawks. And Brock Purdy also told no to the Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott, who has all kind of experience. Brock Purdy said no, people. Brock Purdy said no. Know it, believe it, and understand it. Brock Purdy, who is a non-great, stepped up yesterday, and he said, Dak, I know you want to go back. I know you and Jalen got this thing. You know, you and Jalen Hurts, y'all got this NFC East thing going on. You know, when y'all were the NFC least last year, now y'all the NFC beast. The NFC beast, because this division got 4 teams in this division that all could have went to the playoffs at some point. 3 of them went. Giants, which they got torched. We'll get to that in a second. They got torched by Jalen Hurts. The Eagles went and the Cowboys went. Washington Redskins had their moments they could have went. Just fell off at the end. Washington Commanders. I apologize to my Native American listeners out there, my Native listeners, my Native brothers. I apologize for using that term Redskin. It's just a habit. They've been called that so many years. But the Washington Commanders could have made it. But they fell off at the end of the season. Losing, I guess, maybe about two of their last three, something like that. But yeah, I mean, it was a heck of a season for the NFC East. I call them the NFC Beast because everybody was pretty much good. So later on today, we're supposed to have our number one sports contributor, DC, calling in, talking about all things football and basketball as it relates to the NFC, NFL playoff picture, divisional rounds. Also, news about the Baltimore Ravens and if Lamar Jackson is going to resign with the team and the firing of the offensive coordinator, which he did predict. At the same time, all things NBA when it comes to the New York Knicks and whatnot. So we'll have our number one sports contributor, DC, to come on and add a little bit of color to the show, a little bit of entertainment, entertaining points to the show. But, yesterday, back to segueing back to NFL divisional round. The New York Giants, they look terrible. I know my man Saquon Barkley, he came out to do his thing. He showed up to fight. But at the same time, the Eagles was just too much for the Giants. The Eagles came out ready to rock and roll. They said, you know what? Let me show you guys what the how this shoulder feel. And Jalen Hurts came out to do his thing. I know Dak wanted to get back to that NFC championship. He wanted to get to the NFC championship to show that he was just as good as Jalen Hurts, head up. The last time the Eagles and the Cowboys played, they had the backups in. One time Gardner Minshew for the Eagles, and one time Cooper Rush for the Cowboys. When the backups played, both teams lost. So this was legitimately supposed to be the NFC championship for all the marbles to go to the Super Bowl. However, it didn't happen. This is supposed to be the chance of a lifetime for both of these quarterbacks to prove on the big stage that each one of their teams and each one of their quarterbacks, it was both organizations had the chance to prove that each quarterback was superior. It didn't happen, people. You know why it didn't happen? Because somebody said no. You know who said no? One such Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers said no. McCaffrey, Ayuk, Warren, Samuel, Purdy, they all said no. We're going. That matchup, that dream matchup in the NFC for the NFC championship, NFC conference championship, is not going to happen. There's not going to be no Eagles and Cowboys. You might as well go and burn those T-shirts. Burn all that stuff up, go and package that stuff up and send it to Africa. Speaking of, burning up these predictions, I learned in global sports management, it's something called the burn rate. The burn rate is when you start printing off T-shirts and hats saying Dallas Cowboys, NFC champions, or divisional winners, whatever you want to print, predicting how far you're going. That's called the burn rate, where you got to take those pre-printed T-shirts. You got to send those T-shirts overseas to Africa where the sport's not played, and kids can just wear those shirts, as charity. But they can't be worn in the United States. You have to send them overseas, or you have to destroy it. And people say, well, don't they lose a lot of money printing all that stuff up, newspaper articles and clippings and T-shirts and hats? Don't they lose money on that stuff? No, because when they sell the memorabilia, they make the money back on the correct outcome. So just that's what the burn rate is. Just to give you a little education on what the burn rate means. But anyway, going back to the game itself, there isn't going to be no Eagles versus Cowboys headlines. There isn't going to be none of that. Because Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers said, Dak, I understand you want to go and play this game against Jalen Hurts. You guys never got to really face each other on the field. Dak against Jalen. They did, Prescott against Hurts. I know in your mind that you want that matchup to happen. However, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because Brock Purdy said no. Purdy said, I'm going to go and play against Jalen Hurts, and we're going to prove that we're the team to beat in this conference, and I'm going to have a chance to take my team to the Super Bowl. We're going to the Super Bowl. On the monitor, speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, 49ers beat the Cowboys 19-12. Cowboys notable free agents, Schultz, Pollard, Vander Esch, Brown. Again, notable free agents, Schultz, Pollard, Vander Esch, Brown. Has the Cowboys Super Bowl window closed? Well, they definitely got to keep Schultz. Pollard now is damaged goods. Vander Esch, you can put him out there for trade bait. He can get you something. And Brown, I believe that's one of their receivers. You probably could keep him. You definitely want to keep probably Brown and Schultz. But Pollard, damaged goods as a running back, broken leg. probably not going to happen. Then, you know, they already paid Zeke all this money. You probably could go ahead and try to put Pollard out there as trade bait since he can't play next year 9 times out of 10. And Van Der Esch, he still got something left in the tank. So you could try to get a couple free agents for him, or you could probably try to get some draft late, you know, 4th or 5th round draft picks for him. Just depends. I'm going away from this Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl narrative. I want to go away from that. And the reason why I want to go away from the Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl narrative is because it makes no sense. It makes no sense to keep talking about the Cowboys going to the playoffs. This conversation has gotten old to me. You know, we're sitting back constantly talking about, well, hey, you know, Cowboys, you know, they're gonna go to the Super Bowl. Every year we're hearing this, and it mainly comes from the Cowboys front office, namely Jerry Jones. One such Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, he's always making that bold prediction that the Cowboys are gonna go this year. And I understand, you know, the man is, you know, in his 80s now, probably about 81, 82 years old, I think, somewhere up in there. And, you know, somewhere in his late 70s, 80s, you know, I think he's a little bit older than my dad. My father's 76, so I'm thinking that Jerry Jones got to be right about 78, 80 years old. And he's making the prediction. Cowboys going to the Super Bowl. Cowboys going to the Super Bowl. But just like my father, a huge Dallas Cowboy fan, this the year for the Cowboys, Well, you know, I felt like the Cowboys were built to win. I felt like they were definitely built to win. But at the same time, it's hard to win a game in the NFL, people. And Dak Prescott standing at the podium basically saying that, oh, yeah, we'll make it back. Oh, yeah, we'll do better next year. My numbers aren't going to be what they were this year. I'm going to take the offseason. I'm going to get better. I'm going to read all my defensive notes. I'm going to get better at reading the defense. I'm going to get better not throwing the ball into double coverage like I did twice yesterday. Because yesterday, Zach threw the ball in double coverage twice yesterday. One was a legitimate pick and one was half a pick. Because, I can't even say half a pick because Jimmy Ward did pop the ball up. He did pop the ball up, and then Frank Warren caught it. So either Ward was going to get a pick or Warren was going to get a pick, but CeeDee Lamb didn't have a chance to get that ball. If I'm correct, that was CeeDee Lamb that he was trying to get the ball to, number 88, I believe. But the bottom line is this right here. He threw the ball into double coverage twice. And everybody was like, what is he doing? What is he doing? I don't know. I mean, I don't know, people. I mean, I'm just, you know, some guys said no to some people this weekend. The Giants and the Eagles. Blow out more on the monitor, they're asking, blow out more about the Giants or the Eagles. NFC Divisional Playoffs, Eagles defeated the Giants 38-7. The blowout is more about the Eagles. Giants looked like a whole different team last week against the Vikings. Vikings had won, you know, it was a good football team. They won about 12 games, if I'm correct. They won 12 games, won their division. But the Eagles, we've been saying this all year. The Eagles have been the standard to beat all season. No, they didn't go undefeated like we thought they might. You know, Jalen Hurts got injured at the last part of the season, and, you know, when he playing Chicago, and then, you know, they lost the game against the Saints late. Hungry Saints team fighting for their playoff life. They came out and, you know, they won that game. I believe the Saints sacked Gardner Minshew 6 times in that game. So they dropped that one. Then they dropped one to the Washington Redskins. The Eagles dropped one to the Washington Redskins. But again, everybody in the NFC East could play. Those teams could beat each other week to week. The NFC was not the NFC East this year, or the NFC Least, as they call it. They was the NFC Beast, B-E-A-S-T, the NFC Beast. Everybody in that division could have went to the playoffs, people. I think that might have been the toughest division in football this year, the NFC East. So all I'm saying is that, you know, when it comes down to it, their win, their blowout win for the Eagles was about the Eagles. Jalen Hurts came back and showed you that he could throw the ball, showed you that he could run the ball. He just picked up pretty much people where he left off at before the injury. And he came out there and he put it to Daniel Jones and the New York Giants. I don't trust Daniel Jones. Even though they're talking about, oh, well, the coach, the head coach is this, the head coach is that. I don't trust Daniel Jones as the quarterback, as a starting quarterback in the NFL. I say he's more a backup quarterback in the NFL. I don't trust him. I got Daniel Jones being a level, probably a step below Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is a solid guy, so it makes sense to be a start, for him to start, because he's a solid quarterback overall. Daniel Jones, I just haven't seen it. He does nothing that impresses me. I don't mean any harm. He just does nothing that impresses me. You know, people can look at it another way. That's fine. I don't see Daniel Jones doing anything that really impresses me. I'm going to be honest. So I'm not surprised that the Eagles came out and ate the Giants. I believe, if I'm remembering correct, and then the media experts are saying that Saquon Barkley broke one for like 40-some yards, and you thought that, okay, well, maybe they might have a chance still. They just, you know, run the ball. Just run it down their throat and try to control some clock and keep the let the defense get some rest. Well, that didn't happen. 38-7 blowout. The Giants need a quarterback, people. They might be okay if they get a quarterback. They need to find a quarterback in the draft. Let him compete against Daniel Jones. Let Daniel Jones come out and start the first half of the season. But once you see again that it's the same old Daniel Jones, even if he has a winning record, you'll need to start working that new rookie in. Go to South Dakota University, the FCS champions. Go to the Bisons of North Dakota State. Go to those type of schools, FCS playoff schools, and find your quarterback, and get him a chance. Definitely the two that was in the FCS championship game, FCS Division I championship game, definitely go and grab one of those quarterbacks, because you can find you a Carson Wentz, you can find you a Trey Lance. Yeah, you can find them in the FCS championship game. The two contestants for the FCS championship game. Now below that, you know, you may come out with a Ben DiNucci. Although Ben DiNucci did win the FCS championship, so I really can't even say below that, because Ben DiNucci actually won the FCS Division I championship. And that's no knock against Ben DiNucci. I'm a fan, but what I'm saying is Ben DiNucci, he didn't show what he could really do at the NFL level, but I think he's dropping down to the spring leagues of the XFL, USFL, somewhere up in there. I saw that he might be going and trying to rebuild his career through the pro developmental systems of spring football. But, I mean, you know, DiNucci did get signed by the Dallas Cowboys. He did cover for Dak. That was last year, I believe, for a little bit. And then, you know, before they benched him. But with all that being said, The Giants need to go into the draft and get a quarterback. Daniel Jones is not the quarterback of the future. He's not a franchise quarterback, people. They're making this big deal. Oh, Daniel Jones, he's this because he beat the Vikings. Well, the Vikings are, you know, kind of a suspect team, even though they won 12 games. It's like the games that they won the games that they should have won. But then the games, other games, you know, I got to go back and look at their schedule to see who did they lose to. I'll put it like this. The Vikings had, to me, an inflated record because You know, they won 12 games. It was times they didn't look like a 12-win team. That's what I'm trying to say. Even though they won 12 games, it was time they didn't look like a 12-win team. All right. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogie the Beer radio show. And our topic for today is 49ers strike gold as they dig into the Cowboys. The host will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered but not limited to will be NFL divisional round action to include Dallas Cowboys fall to the San Francisco 49ers, scores and action from the NBA, NCAA men's and women's basketball, NHL, and breaking news and signings from Major League Baseball. The show's number one sports contributor, DC from Maryland Jones, is sure to offer his expert opinion on all things football and basketball. But I don't know if DC coming in, there could have been him texting me, and I'll check that when I go into the commercial, and we'll find out if he's going to come to work this morning. Because I want to grill him about a little bit of NBA stuff with his New York Knicks. Speaking of basketball, the Knicks, they just can't seem to get past the Toronto Raptors and Pascal Siakam. They can't ever win that international friendly up there. So I want to talk to him and grill him a little bit about that in NBA action. Plus, I want to get off into some stuff about Lamar Jackson. Will he be divorcing the team or is he coming back? Where it is that Lamar Jackson is their quarterback, is their franchise player. They're going to work out a contract in the offseason and all this stuff. So, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But anyway, what we're going to do is take a quick station break so the Late Night Dog can wet his throat and check some stuff on social media, on my social media stuff and on the monitor, so I can come back and give you guys some more scores and everything from other sports and stuff like that. But we're going to go off into some music here real quick. And another quick station break. Stand by. Welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Fran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Time on deck here is 8:45 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 46 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. Cool sunny day today. Cool sunny day in San Diego. Let's get off into some NBA scores. My Clippers last night, my L.A. Clippers, formerly San Diego Clippers back in the day. If you follow the show, you know I love everything San Diego and everything Louisiana. The Clippers defeated the Mavericks 112-98. Clippers over the Mavericks 112-98 in NBA action. The New Orleans Pelicans fell to the Miami Heat 100-96. I'm not happy about that. Like I said, I love all things Louisiana. And my New Orleans Pelicans fell last night. They lost 96-100 to the Miami Heat. I don't know if Zion Williamson is back yet. That's probably why we lost. The New York Knicks lost again in the international friendly to the Toronto Raptors, 125-116. The New York Knicks lost again in the international friendly in NBA action, 125-116. Seems like every time they go up to the to Canada, they can't stop Pascal Siakam. They can't stop him. And the Knicks are currently sitting at 25-23, two games above 500, where they lost to a team that's six games below 500. So, interesting. The Thunder defeated the Nuggets 101-99. Thunder defeat the Nuggets 101-99. And I think that Jokic and Jamal Murray were both playing in that game. Because it says Jamal Murray did have 26 points, 9 assists. And SGA, he had 34 points. Shawn Gilgeous-Alexander, if I'm correct, had 34 points. The Grizzlies lost to the Phoenix Suns. Memphis Grizzlies 110, Phoenix Suns 112. So the Suns pulled one out, 112-110 over the Memphis Grizzlies. Ja Morant had 27 points, 8 assists. Chris Paul had 22.6 rebounds. So the Suns over the Grizzlies, 112-110. Chris Paul, 22.6 rebounds. He turned back the clock last night, defeating Ja Morant, who had 27.8 assists. Speaking of Ja Morant, we'll get into this later, but they he had a little bit of a situation with Shannon Sharp, one of the media experts that's on the monitor. He had a little situation. But I did see on the monitor this morning that Shannon Sharp did offer a deep, sincere, detailed apology to all parties involved. And I did see Shannon Sharp and T. Morant, John Morant's father, if I'm correct, that's his name, T. Morant. They was, they dapped it up, hugged it up, and didn't just squash the beef. So that was a good thing. Good to see. Excuse me. Good to see that they were able to squash that on the court. But at the same time, Shannon Sharp this morning did give a detailed apology. So big shout out to Shannon Sharp for offering a big apology to all parties involved and some people that's in his personal life he apologized to as well. The Nets, New York Nets, defeat the Golden State Warriors 120-116. Nets over the Warriors 120-116. Kyrie Irving, 38.7 rebounds. Steph Curry, 26 points, 6 rebounds. So the Nets over the Warriors, 120-116. So Kevin Durant, not so much Kevin Durant, but Kyrie Irving was able to, put up 38 points. That was a good game to him. I don't know Kevin Durant's numbers or if he even played. I don't think he might. I think Kevin Durant might be out injured. I got to double check that. I think I seen something the other day saying that he was out injured. The Los Angeles Lakers defeat the Portland Trail Blazers 121-112. The Los Angeles Lakers 121, Portland Trail Blazers 112. Who was it? Thomas Bryant, I believe, for LA, 31 points, 14 rebounds. 31 points, 14 rebounds. That's the big man for the Lakers. And I think he's filling in for Anthony Davis. Damian Lillard, 24.6 rebounds. 24.6 rebounds. And they were showing last night that who was that? My man Patrick Pat Bell was kind of like tapping his wrist like, my watch is broken. Like, what happened to Dame time? What happened to Dame time? My watch is broken. I think him and Damian Lillard, they was jawing at each other a lot last night. I'm surprised that that Damian Lillard didn't mess around and catch a shove in the back after the game, because you know how Pat Bell would do now if you piss him off. If you set Pat Bell off now, he might come at you. He might come at you sideways. Yeah, so luckily that didn't get out of hand, but the Lakers defeated them. So going over once again before I get off into some other scores. Again, the Lakers, 121, Trailblazers, 112. Nets, 120, Warriors, 116. Grizzlies, 110, Suns, 112. Suns, 112, Grizzlies, 110. Thunder, 101, Nuggets, 99. Raptors, 125, Knicks, 116. Heat, 100, Pelicans, 96. Clippers, 112, Mavericks, 98. All right. See if we can get off into some NHL scores real quick. I don't like leaving my hockey players out, so I try to make sure I got their scores as well. Don't like leaving my hockey scores out. Penguins 1, Devils 2. Devils 2-1 over the Penguins. We got the Bruins 4, Sharks 0. Bruins 4, Sharks 0. We got the Kings 2, Blackhawks 1. Kings 2, Blackhawks 1. Jets 5 and Flyers 3. Jets 5, Flyers 3. And the Coyotes 4, Golden Knights 1. Coyotes 4, Golden Knights 1. Again, in NHL action, NHL scores, we got Coyotes 4, Golden Knights 1. Jets 5, Flyers 3. Kings 2, Blackhawks 1 in NHL scores. Bruins 4, Sharks 0 in NHL scores. And we got Devils 2, Penguins 1 in NHL action. Let's get off into some NCAA men's and women's basketball. I'm going to go with the women's first. Want to make sure I don't leave my girls out before I get tied up and back into NFL news and stuff coming across the monitor. We got Syracuse 50, Duke 62. Duke 62 over Syracuse 50. We have Virginia Tech 74, Wake Forest 57 in NCAA women's action. Virginia Tech 74, Wake Forest 57. We have Louisville 51, NC State 63. So NC State 63 over Louisville 51. Notre Dame 76 over Virginia 54. Notre Dame 76 over Virginia 54. Maryland 69 over Nebraska 54. Maryland, number 11, Maryland 69 over Nebraska 54. I guess my number one sports contributor, DC, he'll like that. Maryland women's basketball is ranked number 11, and they won yesterday 69-54 over Nebraska. South Carolina, number one ranked South Carolina, 92, Arkansas, 46. Major blowout for number one South Carolina and Dawn Staley with her, that number one team, South Carolina. They're a powerhouse. They're no more UConn. It's all about South Carolina people. Washington State fell to UCLA, 73-66. Number nine, UCLA over Washington State, 73-66. And we have number 21, Illinois, 67. Northwestern, 64. We got North Carolina, number 17, North Carolina, 70. Georgia Tech, 57. North Carolina, 70. Georgia Tech, 57. We got number 4, Stanford, 62. Number 24, Colorado, 49. Deion Sanders hopefully will help with the recruiting efforts to get some basketball players in there for the Colorado women's program. hopefully he might have a couple daughters or nieces that play basketball. Maybe he can recruit them to come out to Colorado and help their women's program out. However, Colorado women's basketball is ranked 24, but they fell to number 4 Stanford, 62-49. And we got number 19 Arizona in women's action, 80-67 over Arizona State. Number 19 Arizona, 80, Arizona State 67. Who else we got here? We got number 25 Texas, 68, Baylor 55. Number 25 Texas, 68, Baylor 55. And we have number 8 Utah, 87 over Cal 62. Number 8 Utah, 87 over Cal 62. All right, that's our action, that's our scores from NCAA women's action. And we're going to go into some NCAA men's basketball scores. And after we do that, I think we've covered everybody as far as college basketball, men's and women's go, NHL scores. I don't see any information on any new Major League Baseball signings or international signings coming across the monitor or any key free agent signings in Major League Baseball today. But if I see anything today, baseball fans, I'll let you know. I haven't forgot about Major League Baseball because right now it's, they're getting prepared to go into spring training camp. Pretty much after NCAA March Madness is over, we'll be having opening day coming up for baseball again. But anyway, in NCAA men's basketball scores, we have number 1 Houston fell to Temple 56-55. Number 1 Houston 55, Temple 56. So Temple, that's a big win. They defeated number 1 Houston 56-55. That's a big win for Temple, unranked Temple. Maybe they'll creep into the top 25. They should after they do the standings and put them out tomorrow. I see that Temple will probably be right about number 23 tomorrow for beating number 1 Houston. That's the thing about basketball, people, college basketball. They do these rankings, but, you know, again, you know these college teams have, you know, they have a good amount of games. So it can just go up and down. College basketball is just like, you know, teams can come out of nowhere and just beat you. Unranked team like Temple can be knock off a number 1 Houston. Tight game, 56-55. Then we got number 3 Purdue. They defeated Maryland 58-55. Purdue, number 3 Purdue defeated Maryland 58-55. Then we had number 15 UConn defeated Butler 86-56. Blowout. Number 15, UConn, 86, Butler, 56. Let me see if I can get some other scores for Saturday. Saturday scores for the men. Didn't too many people play. Didn't too many people play on yesterday. So we got in men's scores on Saturday, we had number 14, TCU, 83. Number 2, Kansas, 60. So that's probably going to put TCU at number 10 tomorrow when they do the standings. So TCU beat number 2 Kansas, 83-60. Then we had number 4 Alabama, 85, Missouri, 64. Number 4 Alabama, 85, Missouri, 64. Number 5 UCLA lost to number 11 Arizona, 58-52. So Arizona will probably be moving up to the number 8 spot, number 10 spot, number 8 spot tomorrow when the standings come out. So, again, number 11, Arizona, 58. Number 5, UCLA, 52. Number 6, Gonzaga, 99. Over Pacific, 90. Number 6, Gonzaga, 99. Over Pacific, 90. I had the pleasure of meeting Coach Mark Fuhr a couple years ago at my job. They were filming the HBO documentary about Gonzaga's men basketball, and I happened to be doing security at a major hotel chain, and they were there. So I've met Rui Hachimura, I've met Sabonis, I've met the whole team pretty much. I mean, some of those guys I actually had a brief interaction with, but I did speak with Coach Mark Few, brief interaction as well. I also met the Gonzaga women's basketball head coach, and I was trying to get some girls from the San Diego area to I wanted to send some tape to him for some of the girls here. And I did get his business card and was able to send some players to him, but nobody ever got signed. Not really my fault. I don't think the young ladies that I was trying to push were serious. And I had one young lady that I found from the East Coast. I think she's in North Carolina, South Carolina. She's really good. I was trying to get her an opportunity to play basketball at a big-time level rather than going to a small school. I was trying to help her get to a big school. But, you know how it goes. Sometimes things just don't work out the way you want to when you're trying to help people. People got to be willing to receive the help. But anyway, again, Gonzaga, number six, Gonzaga, 99, Pacific 90 in NCAA men's basketball. Again, in NCAA men's basketball from Saturday, we have number seven, Texas, 69 over West Virginia, 61. Number seven, Texas, 69 over West Virginia, 61. Georgetown, 82. Number eight, Xavier, 95. Georgetown, 82. Xavier beats Georgetown. What else we got here? Number nine, Tennessee, 77. LSU, 56. My LSU Tigers fell. If you listen to the show, you know I love all things Louisiana. Number nine, Tennessee, 77. And LSU, 56. Number 10, Virginia, 76. Wake Forest, 67. Number 10, Virginia, 76. Wake Forest, 67. Number 12, Iowa State, 59, Oklahoma State, 61. Number 12, Iowa State falls to Oklahoma State, 61. Oklahoma State, 61. Iowa State, 59. And we got Texas Tech, 58. Kansas State, 68. Number 13, Kansas State, 68. Texas Tech, 58. Who else we got? We got number 16, Auburn over South Carolina, 81-66. Number 16, Auburn over South Carolina, 81-66 in NCAA men's action. And we have number 17, Miami, 66, and Duke, 68. Duke, unranked Duke, 68, defeats number 17, Miami, 66. So that's in NCAA men's action. Sorry about that. We had a little bit of technical difficulty there. Something was bleeding into my system. But I want to get back to my scores. I'm not happy about that. Get back into my men's basketball scores real quick because I was almost done. And then, you know, technical difficulties. I need an audio engineer to come in and handle some of this stuff. I've been asking for like some different positions to join my show. But the ad has not been answered. So I move forward. I do what I got to do to keep on entertaining my audience. So going back into NCAA men's action. Trying to go back into my NCAA men's action. Bear with me, people, because I want to get these scores out so I can get back to talking football. I want to get back to my football topics. And we're going back to the Saturday scores. And we got number 18, Charleston. Charleston's number 18. They're ranked 87 over Northeastern, 61. NCAA men's action, number 18, Charleston, 87, Northeastern, 61. Then we got number 19, Clemson, 51 over Virginia Tech, 50. Number 19, Clemson, 51, Virginia Tech, 50. Then we got number 20, Marquette, 74, Seton Hall, 53. Number 20, Marquette, 74, Seton Hall, 53 in the NCAA men's action. Number 21, Baylor, 62, Oklahoma, 60. Number 21, Baylor, 62, Oklahoma, 60. We got number 22, Providence over DePaul, 75-64. Number 22, Providence, 75. DePaul, 64. Number 24, Florida Atlantic, 67 over UTEP, 59. Florida Atlantic's ranked this year. That's good for them. That's a Sun Belt team, if I'm correct. Number 24, Florida Atlantic, 67. UTEP, 59. And we have our final score from the NCAA men's basketball action. We have number 25, Arkansas, 69 over Ole Miss, 57 in SEC play. Number 25, Arkansas, 69, Ole Miss, 57. So that's all our scores that we got for today. And I believe I covered everybody. And that way, I'm going to save this on my bookmarks tab. So tomorrow, I can always pull up this site, get all my scores on it. And that way, I can just shell them out like I did today. See, I'm getting better at it, people, making sure everybody's scores get announced while I'm on air. So you can consult your bookies and whatnot. I want you to be able to consult your bookies to make sure that that you're getting your money straight. Anyway, we're going to take a quick station break. It is 9:06 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 46 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. And we're going to take a quick station break, and the late night dog will be right back. Stand by. Yes, yes. Welcome back to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Today's topic was 49ers strike gold as they dig into the Cowboys. And my own social media, on Twitter and Facebook, I think two subtitles I put down, 49ers strike gold as they dig into the Cowboys. I see you, DC. I'm coming to you in just a second. Let me frame up my question for you. Then, everybody, we got our number one sports contributor, DC from Maryland, in queue. We're gonna bring him in here in about 10 seconds here. And then on my Twitter post, I put in like Howard Cosell used to say back in the day, the famous call with Joe Frazier versus George Foreman in 1972, and Jamaica, where he says, "Down goes Frazier, down goes Frazier." I stated this game with the 49ers and the Cowboys. Down goes Dallas, down goes Dallas. But anyway, we already went over all our scores. And DC, I was going through my NBA scores, man, and I noticed something. You guys lost another international friendly. For some reason, y'all don't have an answer for the Toronto Raptors and Pascal Siakam. What do you have to say about that, sir, before we get off into some NFL stuff? What do you have to say about your New York Knicks, who are about, what, two games above 500, losing to a team that's six games below 500? Go ahead, sir. Good morning. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, yes. So first things first is on the Knicks side of we need to move on from that coach. I watched that game, and you make a valid point. We were we played this team four straight times. We played them a couple of days ago, in fact. And so the argument is, when do you make adjustments as a coach? So no adjustments. And so when you can't make adjustments, it questions your ability to be a coach, right? He brought Obi Toppin in off the bench for Randall. Obi Toppin had 12 points in 7 minutes. He hit a bunch of three-pointers, blocked a shot, and got the Knicks in the game. And yet, he only played 3 minutes in the whole second half. So if you look at a box score, Obi Toppin played 10 minutes and had 12 points, right? So why are you not playing this guy, right?
Okay.
So I see that issue.
Well, can I ask you something before you finish your thought?
Sure.
I'm going to interject in here and play devil's advocate. You're a businessman. You're an entrepreneur. Everybody knows that. Whoever follows the show, they know that you're an entrepreneur. You got your own business. And in your business, you develop what they call a downline in your business, where you got people that's basically, you're duplicating yourself in your business. So you build a team, right? You build a team. You're coaching your team, and you have to do coaching. You're coaching your team on how to do sales, how to close a deal. You're coaching. Is it fair to say kick DC out of the company? Kick him out of the company because his downline can't produce. They're not winning. So it's got to be him. But DC knows that he's giving them the training, giving them the education, telling them to come to the meetings and different things like that. But y'all still losing. So is it fair to get rid of DC? Like you're saying, it's fair to get rid of Tibbs. I mean, I'm just comparing the two. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, it is fair. If my team was performing, and I wasn't making the right moves to ensure our success, then the fault's on me.
Okay.
If I'm coaching my butt off and the team's not producing, then maybe it's a player or two on the team. In this case, we know the Knicks are talented. It's not the talent level of the team. It's the personnel moves and the X's and O's on the actual court, and that under the guise of the head coach, right? It's the head coach's job to manage minutes and match up players based on their strength. Now, you had all season. You had the preseason. You had practice times. Obi Toppin is not new to the team, and neither is Julius Randle. You know, he sitting on his press conferences talk about analytics and numbers. Listen, man. The analytics don't work because if they were working, you'd be winning. Instead, you've lost four straight, right? So if you got analytics and numbers, so does the other team, right? So if you're going with a certain lineup and it's not working, you know, make some changes, right?
I would argue that. We'll get back off into some NBA stuff in a minute, but going to the NFL Super Wild, this weekend was a divisional, round two, the divisional. You stated that the Dallas Cowboys, you wanted them to win. Jerry Jones deserved to his eyes deserved to see a Super Bowl before he departs this earth. You really wanted the Cowboys to win. I ain't saying you're a Cowboys fan like that, but you really was going for the Cowboys because you felt like the team was the right team. And they deserve to win. Now, this morning, we've seen, I saw on the monitor that Dak Prescott was kind of cavalier in his comments. Meaning, when I say cavalier, meaning like, I didn't see the tears. I didn't see the passion. I didn't see the urgency. All I saw was a guy that stood up there and said, I'll be better next year. But I won't come back the same player next year. Do you feel that the Cowboys fans should want Dak Prescott to be released in the free agency due to the fact that he has no urgency? I mean, he's talking like he hung out with Aaron Rodgers after the game and drunk some ayahuasca tea talking about relax. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, your first statement, yes, I was rooting for the Cowboys. I'm not a Cowboys fan. I generally wanted to see them have some success. They've been trying for years to get back to the Super Bowl, and they've been going out getting free agents and drafting well. I mean, CeeDee Lamb was a good pick. The corner they got was a good pick. The tight ends are good. I mean, they're a talented team. Michael Parsons, that was a great draft pick. So they're scouting well. They're drafting well. They needed a veteran wide receiver. They picked T.Y. Hilton up off the street, and he contributed, right? Like, I'm not a fan of the team by any means. I'm a Ravens fan. And I don't even follow the Cowboys. I'm just a general sports fan, right? But they have made strong commitments to try to win. They gave back his money, even though he was injured, right? With that devastating broken ankle, they gave Zeke his money, right? Like they're really trying to win. So I wanted to see them get there, and I thought the 49ers. I didn't like how the organization did Jimmy Garoppolo. But it is clear that Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance needs to pack the bag and call a moving company, because he's not going anywhere, right? So yes, I was rooting for them. I wanted to see them win. I put it that way. I wasn't rooting for anyone in the game. I just would like to see them come out on top. I was disappointed that Dak Prescott laid an egg for them. When I saw the first pick, and I thought it was going to be a pick six, and I saw the first pick, and I was like, no, that ain't going to be out. I actually turned the game off. I actually went and watched the next game. I didn't know if it was watching the Cowboys, guys. I catch the highlights because they're going to lose. Once I saw that pick from Dak Prescott, I said, they're going to lose. All right. And they did. They proved me right. I came back after the next game, and they were down, and they had the chance to win, and they had a chance to tie the game. They didn't. They're just not. They got to make changes. The offensive coordinator is inadequate in its entirety. Kellen Moore, the game might have passed him by. Remember, he was offensive coordinator with the Colts and all that.
Yeah.
When they had Peyton Manning, but the game might have passed that dude by. And so I see the coach getting rid of the offense.
Speaking of offensive coordinators, I saw in big news the last couple of days that Harbaugh did just what you said he was going to do for the Ravens. He had a conversation, a cup of coffee, with a pink slip in his hand and gave it to your offensive coordinator. You feel like there was a justifiable firing, or was his arm just twisted to let the guy go?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think he was under pressure from the fans to let him go, and I think he was also, results driven. It's like, hey, we didn't win, and so I think, I'll be honest. The offense coordinator had plenty of chances. People weren't happy with him last year, but what saved him last year was the injuries to Lamar Jackson and all injuries to the fans thought that the offensive coordinator should have left last year, but they got rid of the defensive coordinator. But the fans felt like, well, the defensive coordinator was struck by a bunch of injuries too. You can't sign a cornerback off of the street on Monday, put him out there on Sunday, and get surprised that he got beat with a touchdown pass, right? So the argument was that the defense coordinator should not have been the one that the last season, but it was. Wink Martindale was fired, and they kept the offensive coordinator. But that put the pressure on the offensive coordinator, and he just didn't produce. And so he deserved to be let go. I think because they were friends, he said, well, just resign instead of me firing. He said he was resigned.
Then on top of that, they were is Vince. I saw the general manager. I forgot his name, but the general manager was saying that Lamar Jackson is the quarterback of this team. Lamar basically said in so many words, Lamar Jackson ain't going no dang on where. He's not being released. He's not getting a trade. He's here. And in so many words, if he don't play, he'll just be sitting at home. But he's not going anywhere else. He is our quarterback. Do you agree with that, or am I seeing that wrong?
That is what he said in the press conference. I do believe that Lamar Jackson is going to be moved, though, personally. I think the Ravens is going to make one attempt at a contract negotiation, one more. Not if he doesn't accept it, I think they're going to franchise tag him with the option of trading him. And I think they'll even leave him open to looking at other offers. I think they won't do him dirty that way, but I don't think he's going to be our quarterback come training camp later this year.
Okay. What happened with the why the Jaguars couldn't pull it off with Trevor Lawrence with the against the Chiefs, saying across the monitor, Chiefs defeat the Jaguars 27-20. Trevor Lawrence says, this is just the beginning of what Jaguars can do. We'll be back. I'm confident in that. Do you think that's a true statement?
I do. I think Jacksonville is a very young, talented team that is committed to doing well, and I think they will. I think they will be a solid team in the AFC South, and I think they'll be in the mix going forward.
They had that game, man. That was a winnable game for Jacksonville, man. I just feel like when Lawrence threw those last two picks, critical times, they threw the one pick when they could have tied it up, I think. Then they had their defense held. Then he threw another pick. Two crucial picks. And so just like, you know, wow, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's youth in the big game. Remember just the previous game. They were down, what, four scores in the first quarter, right? Three, four picks in the first quarter. So I think it's just youth, right? It's just they're gonna be a team to reckon with going forward.
Then you had Daniel Jones of the New York Giants, man. I was saying to my listeners earlier today, man, I'm like, Daniel Jones is like to me a step below Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is solid, and Daniel Jones of the New York Giants is okay. And I'm just sitting there looking at this thing, you know, the Eagles just came out and dominated them guys. I mean, they only scored one touchdown, and I can't remember who the heck scored that one. But I'm just like, I think Saquon might have broke for 40 yards on one. I don't know if he scored a touchdown or not, but. The Giants, man, you know, they're talking about this head coach. Oh, he's a great quarterback coach. He got Daniel Jones playing great. In your opinion, what has Daniel Jones done great for everybody to be giving him some praises this year? He's never impressed me. Go ahead.
So, remember when he broke in the league, they call him Danny Dimes because he is accurate with making throws, but he's not great. He had two issues at one point. At one point, the argument was that wide receivers wasn't all that great. That Darius Slayton, and he was looking real promising, and then it's like he just disappeared. So the question became, you know, is he able to complete the passes? I think his rookie year he was better than Eli, right? Like he came in and he was more accurate than Eli. On the downside of his career, Eli Manning. So I think that's what got him his credit. But as you said, while he might be accurate, he's not a gamer. You know, some people are difference makers, and he's not a difference maker. I think this coach did well to play to his strengths. You know, he talked about how he sat him down, him and Saquon Barkley, Danny Dimes and Saquon Barkley, and said, hey, our success depends on you guys. And I think he did a good job with tapping that. But they're a young team. I don't know if I would move away from him. I think I'd offer him an extension. I don't know if I would move away from him just yet. I would honestly say, what happens if you get him a wide receiver? They got Richie James, but what if you got another guy? What would happen then? So that's what I would look at if I were the Giants. But he's not super great. But I definitely thought, Minnesota was just a better team who actually came to play that day. Because we know Minnesota is not always ready to play. But they came to play, and they made a difference.
They're saying across the monitor, the Bengals defeat the Bills 27-10. Bengals offensive line played as complete a game as they've had all year, despite missing three starters. In that game, I noticed that their backup offensive linemen, they played as well as the starters. So that lets me know that they must have drafted well for their backup offensive linemen. I ain't talking about defensive linemen. I'm saying their backup offensive linemen came in and dominated the Bills. And how do you feel about Joe Burrow telling Josh Allen no? How do you feel about Joe Burrow telling Josh Allen pretty much, I know you guys want to go back and play the Kansas City Chiefs and have that shootout revenge match, but it's not going to happen this year. We're going. We're going to go see Pat Mahomes, not you guys. How do you feel about that?
I was disappointed that Cincinnati won that game. I thought Buffalo was going to, and I was a little disappointed that Cincinnati won, honestly. I thought Buffalo would come out ready to play. They had the Hamlin guy there, and the home field. It was snowing. Like, I thought that was like, it to me, everything was there for Buffalo to win. And for them to get out to such a slow spot and then not win was huge. But it goes back to having that week off, right? I know Buffalo did not because they played Miami. But it's just, it goes back to that whole mentality of the week off, are we ready for next week? The week off, are we, are we counting our victories before we hatch because we already know we're going to blow by these guys? They just didn't seem like a team ready to play,
Okay. Going back to the Cowboys and the 49ers, do you think that it's time, though, again, to move off Dak? And if it is time to move off him, how do they get rid of him? They just opened up the bag to him, I believe, two seasons ago. They opened up the bag and paid him. How do you move on off from him? And if not Dak, then who? Is it Cooper Rush? Who is it?
Well, it's definitely not Cooper Rush. I mean, he proved that he's a solid backup, but champion, starter quarterback in the NFL, he is not. Coordinator first. I think you're committed to that because of the money. The argument is, didn't the running back get hurt in the game? So Pollard, so your horse of a running back got hurt, so that forced you to throw the ball a little bit more, but that didn't deliver. So the question becomes, was that on the offensive coordinator to bring in to change the scheme to compensate? Was that on Zeke to run the ball more, right? Like, falls on the offensive coordinator. I think the defensive coordinator for Giants played well. Called a good game, and I think the Giants for the Cowboys, and I think that the 49ers, they're solid. Their defense is solid, but they could have been beat. I think they could have been beat.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I think the MVP of that whole game was on defense for the 49ers. 54. I think his name is Fred Warren or Frank Warren, whichever one it is. Warren, number 54, man, that guy, I've never seen a linebacker that fast drop back and can cover like a receiver with the speed of CeeDee Lamb. That guy dropped back in coverage, man, with that same type of speed. Like, he's playing as a safety. I mean, hell of an athlete. What do you think about Warren, man?
I agree. I thought he played well, too. I thought tremendously. I mean, the 49ers deserved to win that game. Cowboys could have played better. You need to argue one reason why they didn't is because of the 49ers defense. But again, sometimes you gotta make considerations and make adjustments. And I get frustrated when I don't see adjustments made by coach.
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. I saw the game. I was waiting on the game, and the way I saw it was like this. It was a defensive battle, like I was telling all my global listeners before you came on. I said, the media experts say it's hard to win a game in the NFL in the regular season, number one. Now you're talking about the playoffs. It's hard to win a playoff game, but you win one, then you go into the divisional round, and you're talking about this is for the conference championship. This is just for your conference's chip, and that'll punch a ticket to the Super Bowl. These games are hard to win. And when you're in a defensive battle, the 49ers really didn't show me nothing on offense that made me like, oh, okay, well, you know, Purdy is getting down. He didn't show me nothing like that. You know, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys defense, they held. The 49ers defense, it was a defensive battle. And it was a one-score game at the end. So I don't really want to put everything on Dak Prescott, in my opinion, because – I mean, hell, he threw two picks. I mean, I give him that. I don't think Purdy threw any picks. But the thing about it was, man, it was just one of them grinded out damn games. But the Cowboys' problem is every year they put too much on themselves by saying, this is the year we're going to the Super Bowl. Do you think they're jinxing themselves by doing that every year?
No, but I wanted to say I do agree with you. Again, I saw parts of the game, so it wasn't like I didn't see it at all, but – but, yeah, I agree with you. That, you know, it was a grinded-out game. Both teams played hard. You're right. Is Dak 100% to blame? No. But when you ask for all of the money he got, was it $45 million a year? $40 million? When you get those kind of contracts, you're expected to deliver. Remember, Brock Purdy is Mr. Irrelevant. He was a rookie, the last guy picked. He, you know, started the season out as, what, the fourth string, third string? Because, you know, if you look at the depth chart for the 49ers, they got Josh Johnson there, right? So they brought in, you know, Brock Purdy was supposed to be holding the clipboard, you know, or on the practice squad, right? He wasn't even supposed to play. So he stepped up. The moment wasn't too big for him. The lights wasn't too big, too bright. And he still delivered when he needed to. He made some throws when he needed to. He did enough to win. And we all know with San Francisco, they because their defense is good, because they have Deebo Samuels and Christian McCaffrey and the tight end, they only need a guy to do enough to win, right? So it worked. The 49ers formula was there. But this was supposed to be Dallas this year. They made a lot of changes, as you said. They made a lot of changes. They've been hyping about this is us. At one point, it looked like they was going to have the number one seed even. But it was possible, right? Like, this was their year, you know, and they didn't deliver.
Does this diminish the NFC championship game? Because you know what everybody was thinking. You know what everybody was thinking about. Cowboys, Eagles, NFC championship. The NFC leads. Now the NFC BEAST, NFC Beast, everybody in that division could have went to the playoffs, including the Washington Commanders. Like I was telling my people, my listeners, before you came on, the Commanders fell off of losing like the last two or three games, which knocked them out, but they was even alive at most of the season. So this division rival with the Eagles and the Cowboys was the game that everybody was looking at, Hurts against Dak, because – the first two times they played, the backups had to face each other. Does this diminish the chip now that that's not going to happen? Now you got Hurts against Purdy. And how do you see that playing out?
See, this is a huge test for the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles, if they think that they're going to win the Super Bowl, if they think that they're going to be the team, they got to get by the 49ers. But I also see if Purdy get by the Eagles, like I said, if you're Jimmy Garoppolo and you're Trey Lance, pack your bags because your time in San Francisco's done. So this is all for, you know, Brock Purdy's playing with house money, right? If he loses, he went farther than anyone would have thought Mr. Irrelevant would have went. If he wins, again, they're going to start looking at that guy as the next Joe Montana and Steve Young, right? So he's got the world it is begging call.
He's
playing with house money. Right, he's playing with house money.
I mean, it's gonna be a hell of a game. Segwaying real quick before I let you get out of here, the NBA action. What do you think about the Clippers knocking off the Mavericks?
I wasn't shocked. They are a talented team. When they play together, you know, the problem is again, they're just not out there consistently. And as I sent you that one meme, it's noted. Like a lot of people see, you know, that they made these moves, and the results are just not there, right?
And they gave up too much, didn't they?
I think so. I think when you're giving up first round picks for multiple years for a player that has been injured, is not necessarily that, you know, you could argue is injury prone. Yeah, I think they did.
I think that's a common problem when you have an owner, no matter what sport it is, basketball, baseball, football, when you have an owner with deep pockets, he can buy whomever he wants. But it's been proven, I guess, in this situation that's not necessarily the smartest move. And we can also go and say the same thing for the L.A. Lakers, who won 121-112 over the Trailblazers. These owners with deep pockets, man, they could just do whatever the hell they want to do. Am I correct?
Yeah, and what's funny is the Lakers came back to win that game because they were actually down for them. But it just doesn't matter. They're just not good enough in that deep Western Conference to make a division. I mean, you know, Golden State Warriors, the reigning champions, are the 10th seed. If the playoffs started today, they're the 10th seed. They would be in the play-in tournament. Golden State Warriors, Clay, Steph, Draymond, Kuminga, these guys won the title last year.
Yeah, they just dropped one the other night. They just dropped one yesterday to the Nets, 121-116. Kyrie Irving with 38
right.
points.
Right, as I said, like the West is so deep and so strong. I mean, teams like the Kings, Sacramento Kings, for years was at the bottom, and they're the third seed at the playoffs started today. I mean, it's just crazy, right? Like, you have got to have. You've got to have a complete team in the West. You know, three good guys is not going to get it to you, because if they average 20 points a game, that only gets you 60. You need some other players. So the Lakers are in trouble.
Speaking of the Lakers, speaking of the Grizzlies dropped one yesterday too. I believe they dropped one to the Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul dropped 22 points. John Morant had 27. But speaking of the Lakers versus the Grizzlies on Friday night, it was one of the media experts out there got into some kind of melee. It's been all over the social media. Do you think that particular media expert should have been fired, suspended, disciplined for going out there to the, you know, knowing his network has a great relationship with the Lakers? You know the story that I'm talking about. Am I correct?
You're talking about Shannon Sharp arguing with one of the players.
Yeah. How do you feel about that whole thing?
So from what I understand, Shannon Sharpe granted a reporter from ESPN an interview right on the spot after it happened in the tunnel under the arena. So that, I think that's how that journalist got involved. But I'm not shocked at what happened because, you know, Shannon Sharpe is very clear in what he said, which is, I made a comment, dude said something off the cuff, I responded in kind, and I'll let everybody know whoever's got beef, I'll fight you too. And so I thought that was relevant. I think as a player, I thought the problem was on the player. You have got to hear that and not hear it. You know, the player that had the issue was guarding LeBron. And, you know, Shannon Sharpe saying, you can't guard LeBron. Let's be honest. That's not a bad thing. To not be able to guard LeBron is not a bad thing. You can argue LeBron is arguably one of the best players in NBA history. So,
was Shannon Sharpe speaking as a fan in that moment, or was he speaking as a media critic?
In that moment, in my opinion, he was speaking as a fan. Right?
I think
because
so too.
He wasn't there to cover the game, because obviously that's not even his sport. The other thing is, you know, and this is going to sound weird in some ways to say it, but even though Shannon Sharpe is not a pro basketball player, he is a Hall of Famer. And why do I say that? You know, to get in the Hall of Fame in your industry, and every industry has a, quote, Hall of Fame, right? Even if it's not a standard building, even in the business world, right? To become a billionaire, you kind of made the Hall of Fame, right?
And he did play basketball at Savannah State.
He did. But, of course, Savannah State's not Duke, right? So I'm not dissing Savannah State, but they're not Duke, right? They're not even the best team in the MEAC. But the point of the story is, you know, to become a Hall of Famer means that you know what it takes to win. And the player he was talking to has not even won a championship yet. You know, he made the playoffs. He's a solid guy. But he's not on the level of LeBron. You know, this wasn't Patrick Ewing playing against Olajuwon and somebody screaming out. This guy's clearly not. He's good, but he's not that good. You know, in fact, the average fan wouldn't even know who he was. You know.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked to see Steven Adams get involved in that nonsense because I didn't even see the guy that the conflict was with. I didn't even see Ja Morant walk over. All I seen was a bunch of people, a bunch of players, and then Shannon Sharpe standing there. But it was more like Shannon Sharpe and Steven Adams. And I'm like, Shannon Sharpe, I don't know if we're going to be going up against Steven Adams. That's a tall order. But anyway, he stood his ground. But my whole point is, the guy that's in question, the player that the comment was made about, I didn't even see him in Shannon Sharpe's face. Did you?
I did not. He just reached over and made a verbal comment to which Shannon Sharpe replied.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. But look, man, I'm going to get ready to close the show out, but I want to, before I let you off the line, I want to say thank you for helping me, helping the show, being a friend to the show. I want to shake your hand and say thank you because we are one listen off of 600 streams. We one listen off 600 streams. And so that lets me know that we'll definitely have 1,000 or more streams by our anniversary for the show in July. We'll definitely probably be over 1,000. So I want to thank you for coming in, adding color to the show, man, and being a friend of the show. And, you know, this format works. It's showing that it works. the way you coming in as a friend to the show. So I want to say thanks, man, for giving your expert opinion in all things football, basketball, definitely when it comes down to the Knicks and the Ravens. And I want to say thank you for that. But closing out, man, as far as the Knicks go, what's the plan moving forward into the All-Star break? Then I'll let you get out of here. I'll let you close it out. Go ahead.
Well, to be quite honest, this is a team that needs to make some moves prior to Thursday's trade deadline. I believe it's coming up. They need to look at the coach. They need to look at the bench. I would love to see them move Randle for some multiple players. They got to define what it is that they want to do. No matter how you slice it, they are slightly above 500. And that's pretty much, you know, they win seven, they lose four. They win seven, they lose four. They win four, they lose four. That says you're mediocre. That says you're average. So you got to make a decision. Are we going with some of the younger talent to give them more minutes? If so, move some of the veterans out. You got this point guard. He scores, but he doesn't have a lot of assists. So that says that he doesn't trust some other players. I thought the move to Grimes in the starting lineup was smart, the shooting guard. So if you're going to play more of the youth guys, play the youth, move a talent. I think they have a glut at power forward. I think you move Randle over Toppin. But we'll see. They need to make some moves, though. The front office, silent last year. At the disappointment of a lot of fans, they cannot be silent this year. So I expect this team to make some moves at the trade deadline, and we'll see what they do.
And last thing for you to close out on with Baltimore, and this just popped into my head as I was looking across the monitor about Brock Purdy. You just mentioned, you said Brock Purdy is going to send two quarterbacks packing, two good quarterbacks. One that hasn't really proven himself, and in college you know who Trey Lance is. Jimmy Garoppolo as well. Now with the problems in your front office with the Baltimore Ravens, are you guys have peaked interest in getting any of those, both or one of those quarterbacks and letting Lamar Jackson go? Go ahead.
I would absolutely welcome a trade, picking up, you know, trading Lamar for picks and things of that nature. And picking up a guy like Trey Lance, I would highly welcome that. We know that he can play. He runs a similar type of system. He's probably a better passer. I would highly welcome that move. That is an outstanding trade idea. The Harbaugh connection with San Francisco is clearly there. I would highly recommend that kind of trade. The teams are similar in their makeup and their thought process, so it wouldn't be a huge change for Trey Lance. I would highly think that. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is just going to walk in free agency, but I definitely think that that would be a great move for the Ravens. You could keep Hundley. Hundley has 1 year left on his deal, so you could keep Hundley and have Trey Lance come in and battle to be the starter, but he was pretty much be penciled in as a starter. Great move, great idea, outstanding.
I'll throw one more at you. If Aaron Rodgers stays and comes back another year and bleeds the Packers of all that cash, do you see y'all making a move on Jordan Love? How does that look?
Nah, I see Trey Lance over Jordan Love. While Jordan Love, if the new offensive coordinator doesn't want to run the system that we have, then I definitely could see Jordan Love, because he would be a young guy. He's got some talent. You could give him a chance. His deal would be cheaper. So I could see that, particularly if the new offensive coordinator doesn't want to do the run pass thing, right? So I could see that. I would definitely support the Ravens going after a quarterback that has NFL experience but is still young. I think that's kind of a better move than when you get a rookie, because the rookie has to get the speed of the game, the non-off-the-field parts of the game, as well as just understanding, you know, the culture in the NFL, but a guy that has 1 or 2 years, or even in the case of the guy for Green Bay, 4 years of NFL experience, bringing him in and giving him some chances to run, I think is an awesome idea. Awesome.
Well, look, man, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. I'm going to let you get up out of here with that. But we'll touch back bases sometime as these playoffs unfold sometime next week. But thank you for coming on the show and have a great day.
Will do. You too.
Yes, for those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Men Radio Show, and I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Men Radio Show. That was our number one sports contributor, DC, calling in from Maryland, and we want to thank him for adding color to the show since we've been in business and everything like that, since we've been in business, and we want to thank him for coming on the show again and helping us reach 599 views. I'm quite sure sometime this week, God say the same, we'll hit 600 or more on our way to 1,000. My goal is to reach 1,000 views, 1,000 streams and everything like that. It's just like a hip-hop artist putting out a mixtape or an album and getting 1,000 streams on YouTube. So it's the same thing for me in this on this radio show. So I want to thank DC for being a contributor to the show and helping us to get up to 599 views as of right now. This is a great show, so hopefully most people will listen to this topic today, 49ers strike gold as they dig into the cap. But I want to remind everybody real quick, I got to do a hard wrap. I want everybody to stay light, be light, not darkness, be love, not hate. Remember, there's only one race, that's the human race. Pray for peace around the world. Pray for this war in Ukraine to stop. Make sure you get your flu shots, your COVID boosters. Keep your mask and your hand sanitizer on you at all times when you're in crowded spaces and when you're making physical contact with people. So with that being said, we're going to set black, fade all, and we'll see you tomorrow.